Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined, as always, by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Tebow time, brother. It is Tebow time.
It is Broncos time.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. And in terms of the, you know, accuracy of breaking down the matchup, you are correct. But for the fans, you know, this...
They're misinformed and misguided, well, and they are being misled.
And I understand all
the talking heads.
And I understand all of that.
I'm not buying it, Coach.
Well, I'm not either. I'm just telling you why they're tuning in. You know, when you get right down to it, I mean, these games are played for the so that the cash register rings, and Tim Tebow is ringing the cash register in terms of these TV ratings. Now, I'm not saying he's a good player or, you know, any of that stuff. I'm just saying that this hype, you know, greases the wheels of this machine that, you know, we ride pretty comfortably in. And so, you know, it's Tebow time. Otherwise, I might have to get a real job. And I'm totally, totally incapable of that. But, yeah, going to Denver. 4:30 on Sunday, 2:30 Mountain Time. I don't know. I don't know if I'm talking myself into this being a closer, tighter game than it should be, or I'm finally coming around and seeing it accurately. I don't know. The Steelers. The margin by which they have been declared a favorite to me is a little large.
Yeah, just look at the history. Let's start with logic and data that we can analyze.
Okay, because if you said common sense, I was going to say you can't do that because this is the NFL. Roger Goodell will send you a letter and fine you.
Okay. You know, how many times do you go on the road in the postseason and blow somebody out? It is rare.
Yes.
It has happened.
Yes.
But it's rare. This Steelers team in particular has not been as good away from Heinz Field as it has been at Heinz Field. And we've seen that multiple times in multiple circumstances. So there's that to deal with. I think you take a win any way you can get one at this point of the year. I don't think it has to be a blowout. And I also think there are enough – I don't want to say – well, maybe concerns is the right word, but there are some aspects of the Steelers this week that make you feel less than 1,000% confident.
Let me ask you this and see if you think this is legitimate or not. Remember earlier in the season, especially, you know, right after the debacle in Baltimore, we started talking about how, you know, naturally they needed to win games, okay, obviously. But you wanted it to look a certain way. It needed to be done, again, not necessarily a blowout, but done in an efficient, professional kind of, in terms of the execution. You look like a professional football team.
Button down on point.
Right,
on,
yeah, like you went to practice all week and paid attention.
Yes.
You know, those kind of things. I'm looking for a little of that, especially on offense, because I don't know, maybe I'm missing it. But I haven't seen that in a month.
Well, the only thing I'd give you is time of possession and rushing average in Cleveland. And not turning it over. And
well, no, they did. Redmond fumbled twice.
Yes, he did.
You mean no interceptions?
Yes.
Okay.
And what I meant to say was time of possession and rushing average.
Yeah.
I've put those fumbles behind me, as like Redmond has. But, you know, those are things that can – that potentially contribute to scoring points and definitely help the defense. The defense likes to play as infrequently as it can. That allows it to be as ferocious as it can be more often. And those are all good things. Ben Roethlisberger was in the locker room yesterday, Bob, and you know, I've been asking him the same question since St. Vincent College every so often. Can you guys be the Packers? Can you be the Patriots? Can you be that type of offense? Because you look at the players and you look at some of the statistics and you think, yeah, why not, right? The capability is there. But you look at points scored and it's not there. And Ben said they still have the highest of expectations for themselves and they still have time to reach those expectations. They have a lot less time now than they did at St. Vincent College, but you know, as Wolf said on our show last night on 970 ESPN, hey, they're due.
Yeah, they certainly are. And, you know, this is a time. I mean, the only thing that, you know, concerns me in this area is, you know, you always hear about you can't turn it on and off. It's not like a switch. And that's why, you know, I was kind of looking for some things in Cleveland that might, you know, indicate to me that we were heading down the proper road in terms of, you know, I know you're talking about the rushing average and the time of possession, and those were fine, and those are the more the ball control elements of the offense. And I think that it needs, you know, to maintain that to some degree because, as you mentioned, it helps the defense. But then the, you know, stick it in the end zone component, you know, I haven't seen that in a while. Again, you know, the red zone horse I've been beating, I'm going to smack it a couple more times right now. 1 for 4.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little ripe.
Yeah, as is the smell when they get
that
down.
Horse, it's, oh, no, it's so, not going to win the Triple Crown this year, that horse.
I mean, I don't think it'll even make, you know, a good can of dog food anymore. I don't know. I'm disappointed, I think, maybe even more than angry. I mean, maybe after, if the Steelers would squander this opportunity, then maybe some anger then, you know, at the opportunity that was squandered. But I don't know. I'm like you. I keep waiting for it. And you and I talked about this in the beautiful Suite A106 at Benedict Hall on the campus of St. Vincent College, that, you know, the Steelers offense has the capability to carry this team to a championship, to be dominant, unit.
I think we almost thought it was going to have to be at some point to win the championship.
And then when it turned out that it didn't, then I really got optimistic. I'm thinking, wow, this defense is a lot better than I thought. Maybe it's not good the way that I thought it was going to be good, but it's getting the same thing accomplished in a different way, and I'll settle for that. And then I started thinking, wow, you look at all the really good teams, the Steelers have the best defense of all of those teams. And then, you know, your hopes and maybe your expectations rise a little bit more. But to me, the offense has not progressed, evolved, come along as the defense has, and as I said, disappointment. But as you said, they have time. Impress me. Start Sunday, 4:30, and impress me. I'm ready. I'm willing to be impressed.
Yeah, and now is really what matters.
Yes.
You know, if the Packers give up a lot of yards in the postseason, but they keep getting 3 turnovers a game or whatever they're getting, they're not going to care about the yards. They're going to care about going back to the Super Bowl and maybe winning it again. You know, if the Steelers suddenly start coming up with 2-3 turnovers a game and become that dominant defense that we thought was possible, at least, nobody's going to care about the regular season. If the offense suddenly starts scoring 35 points a game, who cares about Cleveland? You know,
absolutely.
This is what matters. So you still have an opportunity. You can't be disappointed making the playoffs. And if you win a playoff game, I don't care how you win it, you can't be disappointed with going on to the next round.
So no, absolutely not.
As cliched and coach-like as this is gonna sound, you just take them one at a time and see if you can get to the next one.
Okay, so in the end of maybe the Steelers' offense doing the things that both of us kind of expected and hoped for, what do you see from the Broncos' defense?
I see a team that blitzes like crazy but isn't getting there all of a sudden. And I think that is something they might be able to exploit if the quarterback decides not to hold the ball and he wants to get it out of there, particularly in his setback state, as he described it. They're going to play a lot of one-on-one outside with the two cornerbacks, and they're going to bring people. So do you want to stand back there and figure out where the single coverage deep is, or do you want to just get it out of there and nickel and dime them to death and maybe pop some big plays to Heath Miller or back out of the backfield or somebody on a crossing route that doesn't take as much time to develop and you know, get somebody behind those 5 or 6 pass rushers that you're going to see in every passing situation and see if you can exploit them that way. And do you want to do what they do and run the ball on them? You know, Elvis Dumervil, for all his pass rushing prowess, he lines up in the next area code, Bob.
Oh, yeah, that real wide out there. Yeah, I know.
You know, I had forgotten that until I saw him play against the Chiefs. He doesn't have a whole lot of interest in stopping the run on the way to the passer. He has a lot of interest in going to the passer. So I would imagine that's something that people have exploited and can be exploited.
You know, and that's – you know, we talked about those two guys being similar to Freeney and Mathis.
Yeah.
I remember those guys on occasion on the one – Freeney, I think, lined up outside Heath Miller, who was actually a flex tight end a little bit, and usually the defensive end would be in between there, but he was actually outside him even farther.
They have this other habit on defense of sending a blitzer late. Sometimes it's either a linebacker or a defensive back. Sometimes it is a reaction to a running back staying in to block. But sometimes they just try to come late, and the hope is that the player will be accounted for as not rushing, and then the blockers move on to the next thing, and then the guy comes late and maybe comes free. But that guy doesn't get there either. They came at Kyle Orton all day. They just didn't get there.
Yeah.
If you don't get to Kyle Orton, I don't know if you're going to get to Ben. But that's why they play the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, this is another thing that I have believed, well, certainly all this week, that to me the key matchup, and we will talk about this here anyway, but is not so much how can the Steelers stop the read option, but is going to be, can the Steelers offense do what it needs to do to kind of make that a moot point?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we really haven't seen that lately. But again, there were some times, you know, the Steelers got off 17-0. They did against Jacksonville, right? That was 17-0. You know, I think something like that, and then if you don't turn the ball over, you kind of take Denver totally out of its comfort zone. And, you know, you were mentioning this in one of the other things we did in watching the Denver-Kansas City game. You know, they're in a game where they need to win to get into the playoffs, and their fan base was not really rah-rah supportive. They were, you know, show us something that we think is worthy of our support. And I think if the Steelers got up on them quick, they might turn a little ugly there.
There's two ways to stuff the running game or to eliminate the running game. One would be to stuff it and eliminate it, and the other would be, as you mentioned, to just get ahead by enough points that they can't run the ball anymore. And once that happens, the Broncos are done. I'm here to tell you, they are not spreading them out and throwing it all over the place and getting anything done doing that. But if there's one way Denver can win this game, and that's to kind of drag it down to its level and grind it out, and then figure something out in the fourth quarter when it's a one-possession game or less. Beyond the turnover thing or popping a special teams play, something of that nature, a quick score somehow, a pick six, something that dramatically changes the scoreboard. If the Steelers can get the Broncos out of that, the Steelers are going to win, Bob.
Let me ask you this, and you were the first guy to bring this up, and this is why I'm throwing it back at you. You said in watching the Broncos, Phil Simms actually had a cogent comment, which –
hate to admit it, but
and it has really grown some legs now. The Elway has said it. A lot of people have said it. So let me just, for the listeners, that comment, something, and I'm paraphrasing, somebody needs to teach Tim Tebow what open is in the NFL. Okay, he needs to pull the trigger on, you know, the windows. As you mentioned, it's not Vanderbilt that he's playing as the Gators. And
I like picking on them because they're well, brainiac school.
Yeah, I know. And they usually are cannon fodder for the Gators and the Tigers.
I mean, you could
Tigers.
Say Mississippi State or something, but I just like saying Vanderbilt.
But anyway, as I said, this has grown some legs. Tebow has been asked about it. He has acknowledged conversating with – I hate that word, but that's why – conversating with Elway about it. And so do you think he does it? Do you think he comes out – is he the kind of guy who – now will come out and start pulling the trigger. I'm not saying it's going to transform him into, you know, Tom Brady, but do you think this has any impact, the words to Deed?
That will be fascinating to find out. And the comment you're referencing is John Elway to the Denver Post, that Tebow needs to, quote, put everything behind him, go through his progressions, and pull the trigger.
Yes.
All right, just my 2 cents worth. And I'm not an offensive coordinator. I didn't play quarterback. But he clearly was not doing that against the Chiefs.
Yes.
He clearly has not been doing that enough that it's become a big enough issue that Elway feels compelled to sound off about it. I mean, imagine, what is he, the CEO or the president?
Yeah, right.
Imagine that happening here. Somebody in the highest of front office chairs telling the quarterback how to play.
Oh, I thought
at this juncture of the season. Okay, you want me to start whipping it around and just they're done if he does. They're done if he does, because there will be interceptions or bad incompletions. They won't have ball control. They won't move the chain. They got one shot. That's to run it traditionally and run it with the option as much as they can and have as much success as they can and hold the Steelers within sight on the defensive end.
And hope the Steelers cooperate.
Yes.
By keeping the game in the neighborhood that they need it to be, so they can get to the fourth quarter with a chance to win.
And if they run as well as they potentially can, now you can work some play action and maybe hit a guy for 8 yards here, 15 yards there, move the sticks again that way. Maybe Tebow scrambles and gets you a first down or a touchdown. He's a gifted athlete, but he is what he is. I'm not trying to be trite or just blow this off, but they're not going to make him Daryl LaMonica just because John Elway thinks he should be. It's not going to happen in 6 days.
Yeah.
It's just not. And the receiving core isn't suddenly going to be populated by fast guys who can achieve separation. That's the other part of it, too. I've seen Kyle Orton stink for a couple teams, but that whole thing wasn't on him. They don't have anybody dynamic on the other end of these balls.
Well, but my question, though, to you was, not so much do you think that he can pull the trigger and be effective. I just want to know, do you think if he's the kind of guy who will do what he's told, you know, right away, and like everybody's telling him this, John Elway, wow, told me I got to let it rip. So maybe he just, you know what I mean, for better or for worse, he just goes out and does it.
My only information on that would be I know John Fox a little bit, since he was the DB's coach here.
Yes.
Under Chuck Knoll. And I think John Fox is a head coach, runs a pretty tight ship. And I think Tebow's going to do what John Fox tells him to do. Now, I don't know if that's, hey, kid, the owner said this is what he wants. Better do it. Or never mind that elevator music. This is how we're going to beat the Steelers. You do this, this, and this. It's going to be how Foxy wants it. Now, I don't know what
he might want.
Go.
Yeah.
But if I'm Foxy, I run more option, not less. Because I know that guy can't really play either.
Well, no, but I'm not saying.
When I say that, I don't mean he stinks as a football player. I mean, he's not.
He can't play that game.
Yes.
He's not. He can't play that game.
Yeah. I would like him on my team. I would not like him on my team as my starting quarterback. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, what would you do with him then?
H-back him. Get him the ball. Let him run it some. Let him throw it some.
Yeah.
Maybe have a one package for an option package.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty good red zone quarterback, maybe.
10, 15 touches a game.
Yeah.
In
or
one
maybe
way.
Not.
Maybe not quite that many. Five to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
But I do believe there are winners, and there are guys who are charismatic enough to inspire, and that can be a big help. But you got to have a franchise quarterback as your franchise quarterback, not a former Heisman winner who everybody likes. Because he's charismatic. You know, the charisma has to come from actually being able
to throw
the ball.
Oh, yeah. At this level.
And a couple of these throws, Bob, the plays that Sims was highlighting, I think we touched on this earlier in the week, but they had the overhead shot.
Yeah, right.
The guy was NFL open, and he just had no interest in throwing it. I don't know how you all of a sudden flip a switch mentally and start throwing it.
Yeah.
Now. Maybe he can pull it off. I don't know. I think that would lead Denver down a road that it would have no chance to escape.
Okay, let's get to the nitty-gritty. I'll go first. I think the Steelers find a way to win this game. I don't know if I am I really believe that as much as I cannot really bring myself to ponder the alternative. But I've liked this team since it reported to training camp. I think it is a legitimate contender, and I think that this is the kind of game that a team like this wins. And I also expect to go to Baltimore next week. I think that by saying that, I'm thinking that the Bengals get it done in Houston.
Well, I'll back into it. I have no more expectations on the Bengals.
Okay. And, hey, you have been stung by them.
You know, you put your hand on that stove and you get burned.
Yeah, right.
Somebody should have told you, if you do it again, it's your fault. And the other team has T.J. Yates at quarterback, so I'm not going to expect anything out of them either, because he's not as good an option quarterback as Tim Tebow. I think the Steelers win the game. The best things I think they have going for them, not knowing how Lamar Woodley's going to play and how his hamstring's going to hold up and all that, but it was I was reminded during our show last night that Troy Polamalu is really starting to look like Troy Polamalu
yes.
again, and that's a pretty good thing. And I think with the offensive line in place that's 4-0 this year, they'll find a way to get enough done offensively. Ben can play better. Ben will play better. Hopefully that will occur as the Steelers move on in the tournament. But
matriculate through the field.
Yeah, this has been a bit of an oddball week already here, and given that, I don't know that he's going to come out and throw for 350. But I think they can hold Denver under 150 rushing, and I don't think that's enough for Denver to win.
One final note from me, Doug Ligursky, please stay healthy. That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Persuda, I'm Bob Labriola.
We don't care about the NFC?
No, I don't. I mean, the Saints will win. Anybody who thinks that the lie downs are going to beat the Saints, to me, that is delusional beyond any kind of, you know, the question to me is, will Drew Brees complete just 70% of his passes or more than 70% of his passes?
I'll go over.
Oh, I wouldn't.
If you're gonna put it there?
No, I wouldn't. No, if I was really in this, in that business, no, that to me is too easy.
What I'd
put it
74?
72.
I'll still go over.
Well, see that and that, I would feel a little more confident about, having to deal with the, because the that's a more realistic number. But
another game's pretty intriguing.
Atlanta against the New York Football Giants. Well,
it's a giant. You want to talk about up and down. When the Giants are good, they're pretty good.
Yes.
And when they're not, they stink. But Atlanta, to me, has been a little overhyped all year. And Atlanta's quarterback, to me, has been a little overhyped since he was drafted.
He was overhyped when he was at BC. yeah, I mean, using the Tunchilkin formula, who has the better defense and the better quarterback, I'm going with the Giants.
It's the Football Giants, right?
Yeah.
And they got home ice.
And the other game – I don't care.
The other game is just who has the better quarterback.
Right.
Because that quarterback is so much better.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one.
And no offense to the other guy.
Absolutely not. But
who I like better than Matty Ice, by the way.
There's two guys in this league right now who are way over everyone else.
They should be hanging with Troy on the endorsement circuit because they are head and shoulders above.
I'm out of here after that. Talk to you Monday.